wanting when it's in my choose. Over any trial, over any sin, my God in heaven, He always wins. He is over life, He is over death. His love is eternal, it never ends. With every breath, Jesus, with all I am, Jesus, oh, over any trial, over any sin, my God in heaven, He
you worry, oh how you weary from fearing you lost control. This was the one thing you didn't see coming, and no one would blame you though. If you cried in private, if you tried to hide it away, so no one knows, no one will see. You stop bleeding. Oh, my soul, you are not alone. There's a place where fear has to face the God you know. One more day, He will make. Try to promise that someday it all works out. Cause this is the valley, and even now He is breathing on your dry bones. And there will be dancing, there will be beauty where beauty was ash and stone. This much I know.
Where fear has to face the there's a place where fear has to face the God you know.
Good morning, His Tabernacle.
That was user error. I think turning it on makes it sound better. We want to welcome everybody. Praise the Lord. Isn't it a great day? How many of you are cold? Can you believe it's already 2 degrees? Glory to God. We're on a roll. Glory to the Lord. I think we're going to hit 7 today. Praise God. That's a perfect number. And we just want to ask the Lord Jesus, please don't keep us here long. Amen? It's funny because they came in this morning already and they said, I think Mr. Redner said, I think we're going to have probably a low first service because everyone wants it to get warm. I said, it's only going to warm 5 degrees. Are you ready to worship today?
Yes.
Can you believe 2017 is already completed? Isn't it amazing how fast time goes? And really, when we look at our lives, you know, we've got to really evaluate how quickly and what we have in order of our life. And so today, I just want to, let's just make this day, right this service, you and Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
Some of you came in, you're worried about this, you got the roast on at home, you got this happening this afternoon, you got to be at work at noon. Let's focus on worshiping Jesus. Amen?
Amen?
The message that you're going to get today should stimulate you to go for more than you've ever gone before, because that's the heart of God. You know, what's interesting, and I'll just mention this real quickly before we begin. The Lord told told Adam that the animals were going to do what? They were going to reproduce after their own kind. But God never told Adam and Eve just to reproduce. He told them to multiply. God has called you to multiply. And I'm not talking with babies. Dear Jesus. Yeah, I've been delivered. But I want to make sure that you learn and get into that mind of multiplication rather than just addition and survival. Amen? Father, this morning, in the name of Jesus, all those that are watching online, God, those that are in the service, Father, we pray for the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God, the power of God, the dunamis, the supernatural. God, we know where your supernatural is. There is the ability for all things to be accomplished. Lord, we ask that today you'll bring heaven to earth. And that, Lord, as we enter into your presence, that God will break through those things in our lives that are holding us back. That God will break and destroy, Lord, those bondages, Lord, that we struggled with in 17. That when we go to 18, Father, we'll run without hindrance. God, today as we worship you, we're making a conscious choice. We're bringing our mind in subjection. We're commanding our bodies to come into order. And we're declaring that, God, we will worship you in spirit and in truth. So, Lord, today, this is all yours. We love you. Holy Spirit, fill this room right now with your power. Fill this room, Holy Spirit. We invite you. We give you the freedom to do as you will because we long to be in the presence of God. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Let's worship the Lord together.
All right, can I hear you clap? Can I hear a shout if you're excited to praise Jesus this morning? All right. The song is real easy. Just repeat it after me, okay?
Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
thankful for Jesus saving your soul this morning. Can I hear a shout? Amen. Jesus, you've been so good to us, and we just want to thank you. Thank you, Jesus. You've been so good. You've been so good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you. My heart is full. My heart is full. I love you, Lord. I love you.
Hey!
sing it out.
Some of you went into 2017 and God had given you a great vision. And as you started progressing towards the vision, you felt the restriction. You felt the combativeness from the enemy. And what you did is you started when that push came, when the resistance came, instead of going more into prayer, you actually started to retract. Remember, whenever God is going to take you to a new level, there's always going to be more restriction. The enemy is going to come in like a flood. But when you raise up the standard, the issue is not that God doesn't want more for you. The issue is, are you willing to pay the price for what you have available for you? You see, one thing you found before Jesus ever went to the cross, he went to Gethsemane to pray. And the Lord is calling you to a deeper relationship with him. See, many of us are acquaintances with Christ. It's not that we don't love him. It's not that we're not saved. It's not that if we didn't die today, we wouldn't see him. But you see, God doesn't want you just to be saved. He's called you, as we talked, to multiply and replenish. He's called you to have increase in your life. But whenever you step forward towards the increase, you've got to recognize that the enemy is going to resist you. So if you are not willing to spend some extra time in prayer, you're going to find that you can't live off of yesterday's. The strength that you had for last year isn't the strength you're going to need for this year. The strength that a baby needs to learn how to walk is far less strength than it is for those who run a marathon. But what they had to learn was they had to learn how to bring their body into subjection. They had to learn how to train themselves. And I believe this year, one of the great things that God wants to speak to you is that he wants you to go deeper, but the only way for you to go deeper is that you're going to be willing to spend more time with him. You see, the vision of God is not small for your life, this house, for the people around you, but he can't take you to that new level because when you start stepping towards it, the resistance is there. And if you're not willing to build a greater strength than last year, then the most you can ever harvest is what you had last year. It's time to go more. That means God is asking you to spend more time with him. Some of you don't spend any time with Jesus. What do I mean by that is, I'm not saying you don't come to church, but you don't have time. You know, if you have a doctor's appointment, you actually write it down in your schedule. I have a doctor's appointment Tuesday at 10 a.m. and I know that I'm going to be in the waiting room at least 6 hours. And a little facetiousness. I have a doctor's appointment at 10 a.m. I'm going to be there at least 9:45. You're going to go. You're going to sign in. You know the process. You're going to go. You're going to sign in. You're going to sit down and wait for your name to be called. But you're there for the appointment. Some of you need to start making an appointment with God. I have an appointment every day with Jesus. It's before I come to the office. At about 5:15 in the morning, my alarm starts going off at 5. At 5:15, the birds start to chirp. I got a jungle theme going on with my alarm clock. All of a sudden, the jungle theme comes on, and I get out of bed, and I go upstairs, and I make the coffee, and then I go, and I stoke the wood stove and throw some pellets in the pellet stove, and then I go out, and prayerfully, my man cave is a little warmer than 58 degrees. But if it's not, I grab my coffee, bring down for her, Hebrews, man, amen. Bring her a cup of coffee. Then I head out there and I spend my appointment with Jesus. You know, the Lord said to the disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane, this is what he said to them. Couldn't you pray with me 1 hour? Couldn't you spend 1 hour with me? Now, for those who are learning how to pray, 1 hour, oh my goodness, it seems like a forever. Because you and I, when you start learning how to pray, you can pray everything you know in 5.5 minutes flat. And then you stand there. Okay, I must be done. But you learn, you grow. And you see, the enemy is not afraid of you. He's afraid of the Christ in you. What he recognizes is the anointing. He recognizes you and I moving in the power of God. Remember, he said to the 7 sons of Sceva, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? See, when we are recognized, not only in heaven, but recognized in hell, that means we can cause damage. But if we're ready to cause damage, we have to be prepared in prayer for when the enemy comes against us. Resist the devil and he will flee. But if your resistance is not high enough, you'll catch a cold. Your resistance can be built only in prayer and in the Word. And I want to challenge you this year. Some of you need to make an appointment with God every day. I used to do it when I worked full time. I was a painter by trade. Every noon, I would fast lunch. I wouldn't go hang out with the guys because there were no guys. I was painting a house in Athol, Massachusetts. I would go out on the blocks and I would sit there and I would open my Bible. Back then, I put on Jimmy Swaggart and I would listen to praise and worship and I'd read my Bible for 1 hour. When I was in Bible school, I didn't seem to have a lot of time, but the Holy Spirit told me, he says, you have 6 classes. You have 10 minutes between each class. Take the 10 minutes and stop hanging out with your friends and spend it with me. It's an hour. If you want to go to the next place that God has for you, you can't go in your own strength. For some trust in chariots and some trust in horses, but I will trust in the name of the Lord my God. We learn how to stand in the power of His might, not our might, but His might doesn't come unless we're in His presence. So I want to challenge you this year. This is part of where you get the power of God. Part of your time of prayer is praise and worship. Just like this. In your shower, in your car. I mean, some of you, that's the safest place for everybody around you. Your voice may pierce the darkness, but God loves it. Amen. Your wife doesn't. My children used to bang on the bathroom door. Dad, will you stop singing? It's important to know that this is where you learn how to go to the next level. But you don't go to the next level. You've heard Joyce Meyer say it. Every new level brings a new devil. But you can overcome the devil. The devil's whooped. But if you're not one prepared for that, then you're not going to be ready for the onslaught. You can't resist the devil and he'll flee if you're not prepared, putting on the whole armor of God. Amen? So how many of you are going to put an appointment on your New Year's resolution this year? Now, New Year's resolutions usually last about 2 months. I'm praying that you will make a decision that you will go at least 3 months on this New Year's resolution. Amen? Breaking habit. We're going to go all the way this year, and next year we're going to even do more. Because God's got great things for you. Can you turn to someone and say, God's got great things for your life? Can you tell somebody else, God's got great things for your life? He does. He has great things, but it's not going to come by accident. You got to go after it. And remember, the enemy loves to steal, kill, and destroy. Go find 5 people you don't know and say, God's got great things for you in 2018. Come on, tell somebody, God's got great things for you in 2018.
tonight. Yes, New Year's Eve. We want to make sure you're out here at 7 p.m. Pastor's going to reveal next year's theme. We're going to be laying hands on everybody, and we're going to cross over to the new year. I'm excited. Make sure your neighbor's excited. Don't sit home. There's something for you to do, and it's at the house of God. And then to even continue, a great start to our year. Monday the 8th, we're going to be starting our week of fasting and prayer. Monday to Thursday, noon and 7 p.m., we'll be having prayer right here in the building. I want to encourage you to be here to fast, because this year is going to be the most explosive year His tabernacle has ever seen. We'll see you there for both events.
Good morning, His Tabernacle Family Church. It's such a blessing to stand here because you get to see all of the relationships that we have in the body of Christ, and you get to see the love of Christ in action. So we want to welcome you this morning. Thanks for coming and spending time together as a family. We would also like to welcome our guests. If you are a guest in the house this morning, our heart is to bless you and welcome you. So if you would raise your hand, we have some people that would like to give you a gift. Any guests this morning? We see one over here. Any other guests this morning? We don't want to miss giving you a gift. And we would also like to welcome you to come to a guest reception that we are going to have over here on this side of the building. We have refreshments, coffee, and the pastors would love an opportunity to meet you, to get to know you, and to just tell you a little bit about who we are and where our heart is. We would also like to welcome our live stream family this morning. We pray that you had a blessed Christmas and that you kept Christ in the season. And we just welcome you and love you and thank you for your heart to be a part of the ministry, the vision, the passion, the hunger, and the thirst that we have for our Jesus Christ. We would like to let you know of some awesome opportunities that we have here at His Tabernacle. How many of you know that we are always busy at His Tabernacle? There is always something to get involved with here. So this evening, New Year's Eve at 7 p.m., you do not want to miss this opportunity, because God gives us certain opportunities to position ourselves properly for the work that He wants to do. Coming this evening will give you an opportunity to hear what the Lord has laid upon our pastor, Pastor Spencer's heart for this coming year. But also, He will be laying hands on every single person that comes. And if we want to receive the harvest of what God has for us, then we need to know that we need to position ourselves to receive it. And I don't know about you, but I want to have my big old basket ready right under an open heaven to receive everything that God has for me. So I'm going to be here tonight, and I hope that you will put God first in this evening as well. Also, the week of fasting and prayer begins Monday, January 8th through Thursday, January 11th. We will have morning prayer at 6:15 a.m., afternoon prayer at 12 p.m. here in the main sanctuary, and an evening prayer service at 7 p.m. here in the main sanctuary. Again, this is an opportunity for you to position your heart properly so that you can receive all the blessings that God has for you. So we are so thankful that you're here with us this morning, and we would like to invite Pastor Rhonda.
Amen. Good morning on this last church service of 2017. We're going to finish strong. Ooh, I hear music jamming in the speakers. Anyways, today, as we enter into this time of prosperity, as I was studying the Word of God, I want you to really make sure you don't shut off at this time. Make sure you really plug in and hear the Word of the Lord.
I do need to say this. You're hearing a radio station, and it costs about $4,000 to fix that. Just to let you know.
Great. So don't shut off. We did get this radio station shut off successfully, but don't shut off because I have the word of the Lord for you this morning. And this is a real big key. How many of you want to increase in 2018? How many of you want to increase? In your business, you want increase. You want to see increase. Well, here's the word of the Lord on increase. We know we've been teaching all year at this last quarter on open heaven. When we tithe, we enter into an open heaven. Well, we all sit under the same teaching. So why is it that some feel like it's not an open heaven and others may feel like it is an open heaven, while some prosper and others don't prosper, when we know it's God's will for everyone to prosper? He takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children. Poverty is not from God. He wants every single one to prosper. But the lie the devil would like to tell you is that maybe that's just not for you. Maybe that's just for somebody else, and poverty is what is for you. That is not true. In Acts 10:34, it says that God is no respecter of persons. That means he has prosperity for every single one. Every single one. No one is left out of that. We see even in the scriptures, in the word of God, that widows that had nothing, they were in extreme poverty, came before the man of God and brought their petitions, and they had nothing. Their sons were being taken from them as payment for debt, and God supernaturally canceled their debt. God is no respecter of persons. So you may be in the worst financial situation of your life right this moment. Like even those stories in the Bible tell us examples. These women were in the worst financial condition of their life. And when they came to the Lord and heard the word of the Lord, he supernaturally transform their life. God is no respecter of persons. So whatever situation you're in, God has supernatural prosperity for you and increase. Now here's the scripture that I want to read to you, and it's from Hebrews 4, verse 2. For indeed, we have had good news preached to us. We've all had the good news. I've just read scriptures about prosperity. It's been preached to us, just as they also. But the word they heard did not profit them. Now the word is supposed to profit us, but let's listen to the end. It did not profit them because it was not united by faith in those who heard it. So we need to have faith in the word of God, those that hear it. Faith that he desires to prosper every single one. He desires multiplication, increase in every single one of our lives. But it takes faith with that. And faith is action. So every year, Pastor teaches about doing a faith wall, and I'm sure he'll have a Facebook one posted pretty soon. But I would encourage every single one of you, do a faith wall. And what is a faith wall? A faith wall is just putting up, we have a nice bulletin board. You can use your phone. I mean, all these great millennials have tech tools and know how to do cool things. And you can make a graphic for yours if you want, whatever skill you have. But you put what you're believing for, whatever it is you're believing, whatever is unattainable, because God desires you to prosper. He desires you to increase. So put that in a picture. It holds you accountable. You get to see it every single day, and you get to put your faith with the word of God and see the supernatural pour out from heaven. And in Ephesians 3:20, it says, now God is able, say it with me, God is able to do abundantly above all I can ask, think, or imagine. But we've got to ask. If we don't ask, we won't receive. So do a faith wall, put it up, and know the word of God is for every single one, and he can do abundantly. You can put whatever you can think, whatever you can imagine. Just really go for it. Put that on your faith wall. Now God, Ephesians 3:20, write it down so you can look it up later. Now God is able to do abundantly above all I can ask, all I can think,
imagine. And believing that is the difference between those that profit and those that don't profit. And it begins with our tithe and offering. It keeps that open heaven flowing in our lives. So if you're ready this morning to end this year believing that God is able and that He desires to prosper every single one of us, stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration in faith. We're going to combine the Word of God with faith and action and see the supernatural unleashed. I am so excited to see the abundantly above. If you will write the vision, Habakkuk tells us, write the vision, He can do more than you can even imagine. It doesn't matter. If you came in here today with not a dime in your pocket, God can supernaturally, debt cancellation, bless your life. So let's make our declaration from Deuteronomy 28 that says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse. Blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. Come on and bring your tithes and offerings to the Lord. If you're watching via live stream, go ahead and click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
Praise the Lord. Isn't that exciting? Yeah. Listen, that doesn't count the 516 souls that were saved in Mexico. Yeah. This year, over 1,000 people have given their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. It has been an exciting and a powerful year. And you know what? You and I, man, this is the exciting part is you made this happen. Turn to someone and say, thank God for you. That's right. Thank God for you. You know, when we looked at the finances this year, I love looking at the church finances because I'm able to see what we're doing. Because really, it's called the core value. Where you put your time and your money is really what you believe. And at His Tabernacle Family Church, our budget this year, actually, I think today, I'm believing that today, we'll push it to $1.3 million for 2017. And we gave $317,000 of that money to home and foreign missions to help build, save, strengthen, and to develop people. Now, I don't know about you, that's something to shout about. That right there is huge. That is huge. $317,000. You know what's amazing? Someone said to me, Pastor, you know, the church seems to always be asking for money. And I'll tell you, we are always going to ask for money. And why is that? Because we always need more. Someone said, well, what if somebody gave you $10 million? I said, we'd probably be asking for more money because we'd spend it on people. You know, this house, what I love about you is that we are after souls and we are here to build people, not to soften our bank account. I know churches with $500,000, $1 million, $300,000 in their bank account. They do no outreach, no way to reach anybody for Jesus. And I want you to know that that's who we are never going to be. We are always going to be asking for money. Why? Because we're always going to have more passion for souls than we've ever had before, amen? Especially as Jesus is coming. You know, this year, just to bus the kids in was $26,000. For the children, just on the other side, over $42,000. Missions, $36,000. Benevolence, helping people with their rent and helping people with their mortgages and helping people with their different stuff. Over 10,000, almost 11,000. Evangelism, 31,000. Empowering pastors, 5,500. You changed pastors' lives. Outreach, $69,000. Uproar, they raised that outside of the church, $60,000. And Uproar Youth Ministry, $21,000. And Seed, $13,500. $317,000. Someone said, Pastor, you know, if you just don't spend as much on outreach. And I said, well, you know, that is an option, but that would have to deny who we are. Amen? We're an outreach church, not an inreach church. Now listen, we love you, we're going to bless you, we're going to grow you, we're going to mature you, but it's so that you can get busy for Jesus. Can I hear an amen or oh my? I love this. And 2018, you know, the one thing that you'll find about your pastor, one person came to me one time, and I've shared this before, and said, I can't come to your church anymore. And I said, well, why? They said, because you only push. I'm sick and tired of being pushed. I said, then yeah, you probably shouldn't be here. Because we're never going to stop pushing. If there's one soul that has not heard in our region, if there's one person that has no hope in our region, then His Tabernacle Family Church is going to be pushing, because we believe that God loves everybody and that Jesus wants to save them from their sins. Can I hear an amen? Turn to someone and say, I thank God for vision. Next Sunday is exciting. For all of those who filled out the white envelopes that you were going to dedicate and vow to sow before the tithe before the Lord for 1 year, Bishop books, we're giving out the Bishop's books next Sunday. So you'll get an email this week if you did sign up for that. And when you do, when the offering is taken, the Bishop wanted to sow into your life. We're going to be handing them out right here. So you'll bring your offering here. We'll hand you a book, and I want you to consume it. It is awesome. It's called Your Path to Plenty, The Keys to Super Abundance by Bishop Rick Thomas. That is going to be very exciting. Amen? So that's next week. I'm excited for today. Open your Bibles with me to the book of Isaiah chapter 54. This is the last sermon of the year, except for tonight when we reveal next year's theme. What I love about God is that God is a building person. He loves to build line upon line, precept upon precept. If you notice, I believe it was 4 years ago, we did the year of the kingdom. How many are here for the year of the kingdom? Seek ye first the kingdom.
If you don't know what the kingdom is, how can you seek it first? If you don't know what the kingdom is and you can't seek it first, then really, what are you seeking after? Second or third? You got to go after the first. The next year was called Kingdom Seed. How many of you were here for Kingdom Seed? Some person came up to me and says, if I hear one more sermon on seed, I'm going to vomit. And I said, well, listen, then you probably should start puking now. Why? Well, because everything is about seed. It's the eternal kingdom principle that is found in the kingdom. How many of you were here for this last year, which was what? This is the year of generosity. God said if you are generous, that he'll make you rich. He'll bless you abundantly above. That is found in the book of Proverbs. And so that is who we are. We were going this next year. You can't stay still. Turn to someone and say, don't get ready and settled. You know, some people get all settled. Well, you know, I'm just happy here. Listen, you can't get happy because we're getting ready to go further. Amen? It's time to go to the next level. Have you ever seen the cows? Well, I was watching the cows this morning. It was 1 degree as we're passing through Breezeport. The cows are out there, and they're nibbling in the middle of their pen. Now, their pen is filled with muck and filled with poop. And there was a few blades of grass shooting up, and they were over there trying to find that blade of grass. And I want you to know that that's not God's plan for your life. That's called survival. Someone's got to throw you hay. But I'm believing that he's going to take you to the next level, the next plateau, the next full feeding frenzy. I love what it says in the book of Psalms about going into the pastures of God. God's pastures are full and abundant with everything that you would desire and need. But many times, that does not depend upon, in fact, every time, that does not depend upon God. It depends upon you. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 2 and 3 says this, enlarge the place of your tent, and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right and to the left, and your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabited. You know what's amazing is that if you take a fish and you put it in a fish bowl, that actually stops the fish from growing. It will not grow any bigger. If you put it in a bigger tank, it will actually grow larger. And many of us have put ourselves in a tank to where we will always remain small in vision, small in what God wants to do for your life. And this year, 2017 ending, stepping into 2018, there has to be a conscious decision that I am going to go further than I've ever gone. I'm going to do more for Jesus than I've ever done. My life is going to be filled with more purpose than it's ever been filled with. It's not about sucking air. It's not about survival. It's not about going to heaven. It's about kicking the devil in the teeth and taking back what he's stolen. It's about going in and letting the devil know he can't have my children. He can't have my friends. He can't have my family. I'm taking back what the devil has stolen. But that is not going to happen unless you make a decision that where you are now is not where you want to be in 365 days. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Enlarge the place. You see, this speaks really clear about determination. We've got to determine to make a difference. We've got to determine to do something different. You know, many people, they live a life of always remaining of the same. Now, management is an amazing process. Management is people that just like to maintain what's around them. And there's visionaries. Those are the people that go in front, find the vision what God is, and bring it back to the manager and say, okay, let's go. Now, you see, this is my job as your pastor, is to bring you on an adventure with God so that you will not stay where you are right now, but you'll go to the next fear. You'll go to the next place. You'll go to the next field where you can browse freely and not have to worry about getting just a blade, but not worrying about eating some poop, but sitting back and being filled and being full and being happy and blessed and fulfilling your destiny. You see, enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. You know, enlarging, there's a decision that has to be made. Have you ever gone camping before? Now, I hate camping. I just want you to know that. I don't believe it's a God thing. If Sherry Boland was, I think she'd be in next service. Sherry Boland loves camping. I despise camping. I don't just hate camping. I actually despise camping. Now, if you want to give me a trailer to sleep in, I'm good with that. But I remember one time the boys and I went camp. Actually, it was Rhonda and I went camping. I'll just give you another example. Rhonda and I went camping with Cody. Cody was like maybe just a year old. We went camping right up here. And here we are. We went into their campsite and we had a tent, spent money on a tent, bought sleeping bags. Rhonda was 8 and a half. No, that's right. Cody wasn't born. You were 8. Cody was born. Chad wasn't born. You, how pregnant were you? 8 and a half? She was like 8 and a half months pregnant. How many of you know that's big? So here we are. We set up camp and we climb into our sleeping bags and there's a root underneath the sleeping bag. Can I hear a witness? Can I hear everybody say, that ain't Jesus? Amen. That's not Jesus. That root was right underneath, and Rhonda was uncomfortable enough, and it was hot, and the sweat was rolling, and the root was digging, and I was ready to say, okay, let's go find a Hyatt Hotel. I feel the Lord. But you see, you have to make a decision when you're camping of where you're going to camp. Now, the boys and I went camping one time. We set up our campsite. This was down at the Archery Rendezvous down in Cowdersport. Set it all up, Denton Hill. And that night, it started to rain. Well, what we didn't really look at was the campsite because we didn't realize we were the funnel for all of the water. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Our literal tent was underwater. The boys and I slept in my 1978 Bronco. The kids could sleep easy. My legs stretched over here, and I'm over like this, and the kids are flopping their legs. I didn't sleep a wink that night. Why? Because I didn't prepare the site. The ground determines whether you're going to be able to expand or whether you're always going to just barely make it by in uncomfort. We are the ones that have to determine we're going to enlarge the place. We're going to determine where we're going. Listen, God already has a plan for you. But so many of us just sit here and say, well, I'm saved. Hallelujah. This is the extent of our walk with the Lord. I'm born again. In fact, some of you not only have gone hallelujah, but now you're going backwards. You're actually going from a full family-sized tent down into a pup tent all over again. You're retracting in your walk with God. You're not enlarging anything, you're decreasing. And God wants to want you to hear him so desperately. The Lord has great things for you. He wants to bless you more than you even want to be blessed. He wants you to live in a peace that you can't even fathom in your mind. Even right now, you've been blessed by God, but God has more for you. And it's time for you to sit back and say, I need to enlarge my tent. I need to enlarge the area. I need to clean it up a little bit. I need to pull out my stakes. And I need to stretch the poles. I need to stretch the ropes to a place I have never been before. But so many of us don't want to go where we've never been before because we have to walk by faith and not by sight. And God is saying it's now time to walk. It's time to get up. It's not time to strut. It's time to run in the Spirit. When you start to run in God, everything changes. But what happens to us is when we are okay with where we are, we always seem to settle for the last rather than the best. You see, the next campsite over might not have had any roots. But I would never know that because I wasn't okay, but I was laying on the root. I want you to know the next day the boys and I moved our campsite. Why did we do that? It was a bad campsite. Was it a beautiful area? Yes. But it did not meet the need. And I want you to know, some of you have settled for lack. Some of you have settled for sickness. Some of you have settled for your walk with the Lord. And it's just barely making it into heaven by the hair of your chinny chin chin. You're not really satisfied in God. You're not finding blessing in God. You're finding survival in God. You're living in a place where you're holding bitterness from the past. You're living in a place where you're angry with people. You're living in a past where you're struggling with wounds of the heart. And God is
saying this year, you've got to change your tent area. You've got to declare that you're not going to remain on that route. You're not going to remain in the water, but you're going to stretch yourself forth and you're going to go big or go home. Come on now. Sometimes you just got to go big or go home. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ask or think, according to the power that works in us. Now he is able, but you see, that's the key. God is able, but the power is in you. Oh, you didn't read that? Let me read it one more time. The Lord, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all you could ask or think, the word think there means imagine, according to the power that works in us. You see, change comes when we stop living satisfied where we are. When we make a determination that, okay, I've made it to this place. I have fed here for as long as I'm going to feed. But now I want more of God. Now I want more of his blessings. Now I want more of his vision and destiny and purpose. So therefore, I can't remain here. I've got to go there. Somebody once said to me, well, you know, I'm retired. You're not retired. You still got breath in your body. There is no retirement in the kingdom of God. It's time to say, God, here I come. Lord, my life is not my own. I've been bought with a price. I'm going to stretch. The world problem about stretching is that it's uncomfortable. Can I hear an amen? You see, when you settle for survival, you'll never reach your greatness. Amen. Are you running to fix that, young man? Thank you. Genesis chapter 39, verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph and he became a successful man and served in the Egyptian's master's household. You see, some of you said, well, you know, I'm in prison. Well, I was sold to slavery. Oh, if you only knew how bad my life was, Pastor. If you only know the struggles that I had. If you only know the hardships that I deal with all the time. Oh, Pastor, listen, the moment you start using excuses in your life, you will never enlarge your tent. The moment you start using excuses, can you imagine if Joseph used the excuses? Can you imagine? Well, you know, my brother sold me into slavery, so I can't serve God. Well, you know, I'm now in Potiphar's house. I was sold. Did you see she lied about me and I got thrown in prison? I hate God. I can't believe. Where is God? Instead of that, he served God. Instead of that, he enlarged his tent. Instead of that, he was not satisfied. He still served God no matter what, because he knew this, that if God is on his side, you can't fail in the long run, that all things work together for good to those that are in Christ Jesus. God can take the bad and make it great. But if you only look in survival and you just sit back and blame and criticize and always whine and complain, you'll always remain right here. You and your pup tent. But I don't know about you. I'm not interested in living in a pup tent. I don't even want to camp. You got to stretch. How many of you like to stretch? You do? I hate stretching. We did this P90X thing once. I remember this exercise.
Oh, keep going.
I won't be able to go next service if I keep this up. I remember that. And you're stretching and you're pulling. And you know what? You're going to be sore. Uh-huh. How many of you don't exercise because you know tomorrow you're going to be sore? Amen. But if you're never willing to stretch, if you're never willing to lengthen, if you're never willing to strengthen, if you're never willing to expand, then the most you can have is where you are right now. And you know, you can eat this food for a while. But the children of Israel, when they went on their trek to the promised land, God brought them food every morning. How many of you know that? He brought them something called manna, which is called the food of heaven. And he brought it and put it in front of their doorsteps. But I want you to recognize
that if that manna stayed overnight, that it rotted. Some of you have been eating rotten food for a long time. You're happy with the food of the past. You're living in the past. You're laying hold of your last walk with God, not where God wants to take you. God has greatness for you, but you're sitting back and you're sitting right here. And God is saying, no, I have the promised land right there. The promised land was only 13 days away for the children of Israel. But they never reached there. You see, it's not the determination of your mind. It's the obedience in walking with the Lord and saying, God, I'm making a decision that I'm going to follow you with all of my heart, my mind, my body, my soul, and my strength. God, that I'm determined that I'm going to lengthen and strengthen, that I'm going to stretch. Lord, make me, say this out loud with me, Lord, make me uncomfortable. Now, I kind of set you up for that. I'm sorry. If you'll just say, Father, forgive me. Because what's happened is, just like the Bible says, if you make a vow before God and don't keep that vow, really bad, by the way, it's really bad. You know, you can make a promise to your friend but and not keep it, but you don't make a promise before the Lord and don't keep it. Can I hear an amen? And you see, we have to make a determination. Lord, I'm willing to stretch. God, I'm willing to change. Say this with me. I love change. Oh, you're lying. Now you're going to hell. We don't like change. We don't like to stretch. Listen, God isn't saying that's what we like to do, but he's saying if you will do, if you choose to, if you desires to, then I'll take you. And I'll take you on an adventure that will, it will blow your mind. I'm telling you something. If I sat back today, now this is 2017, December 31st. If you looked at my life in 1984 when I graduated high school, no one would ever have thought that I'd be standing here today. But you see, I allowed God to stretch me. I allowed God to change me. I allowed God to put me in uncomfortable positions. I said, Father, I don't want to do that. But you see, if you obey him and walk with him, even though it's tough, even though it's difficult, even though it's stretching, even though you got to walk by faith and not by sight, I want you to see that God will always take you to blessing and not cursing. But when we sit back and say, I'm going to live in my little hut because this is where I'm safe and protected, I want you to know that that little hut is going to slowly deteriorate. Can I hear an amen? You can't spare. You got to make a choice this morning. And some of you will. And some of you won't. Some of you have been the same person. If you looked at your life, you've heard of somebody, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. Don't let that come out of your mouth, especially near me. Because if you're willing to say that, you're willing to tell God, you can't change me because I'm unwilling to be changed. Every one of us should be different today than we were January 1st, 2017. Every one of us should look back and say, my walk with the Lord has accelerated. I'm doing more for Jesus than I did back January 1st. Some of us can't say that. Some of us will actually have to say, I spend less time with God. I do less with God. I do no ministry for God. I am not doing anything for the kingdom where I was in early 2017. You see, this world will spin you and twist you. This world will deceive you and get you to actually love it. But the Bible says if the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not. You see, we are not of this world. We are here only as visitors. Can I hear an amen? We are here as ambassadors. Can I say amen? We are here to do the work and the will of God. That's why we are here on this planet. And the enemy so desperately desires to get us so, well, I'm offended. You know what? Honestly, I'm going to offend you more. Listen, you can't be offended. That means that you've allowed the enemy to do his work. Someone said to me just this last week, they said, Pastor, you know, I'm just not going to do anything. I got offended in that ministry, and I'm going to step out of it. I said, that's stupid. You're going to let someone drive you from your destiny. It can't happen. You've got to make a choice. Because when you stretch, it hurts. When you lengthen your cords, it takes work. When you pound in new stakes, you got to swing a hammer. If I had a hammer, I'd hammer in the morning, hammer in the evening. It's a choice to say, God, I don't want to be the same. Lord, you've got great things for me. God, you've got greatness. You want to make my name great. Lord, you want to accelerate my family. You want to accelerate my walk with you. You want to accelerate my business. You want to accelerate me at work, Lord, that I can get promotions and raises, that people will testify that I'm a child of the living God. Lord, I need a new car. God, I just need to love you more. Lord, I want to win 20 people to you this year. You see, everything determines what your goal is in Christ. If you have no goals, you remain in your pup tent all by yourself. You've got to make choices. And I challenge you today as your pastor. One of the things you'll realize about me is that I can't stay still. I was with Pastor Obi and Tara last night. And he says, you're just having a hard time. We were talking about vacations. I'm not a good vacationer. I'm good for 3 days and I'm out. Rhonda likes so swimming in the ocean. I don't understand. I think we should work. And she's saying, well, you know, we got to relax. And I believe that. And I'm good with 3 days. But man, after that, I'm chewing my own arms off. Why? Because we got someplace to go, baby. We got something to do for God. And Jesus could come and crack the eastern sky even today. The trumpet of God should sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. And those that are alive and remain shall be caught up together within the air. So shall we ever be with the Lord. Jesus can come today. And it's time for us to awake, O church. It's time for us to arise, O church. It's time for us to excel, O church. And say, I thank God where I'm at, but I'm not okay with the pup tent. Lord, I'm going to enlarge my tent. Stretch me, change me, challenge me. God, bring me to a place I've never been before, that I can please you with my whole heart, that Lord, when I stand before you, you'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enlarge the place of your dwelling. At His Tabernacle Family Church, there are people that constantly say, oh, pastor, push, push, push. Oh, pastor, money, money, money. Oh, pastor, outreach, outreach, outreach. Pastor, we should cut back on outreach. We'll never cut back. There are people that are lost and dying, and we are here to do the will and the work of God. We've got to push. Shout, push. You see, you got to make a determination in your heart that you will not spare. Carla came into the office one time, Carla Fisher, when she was doing finances. And she said, Pastor, this was, I don't know, how many years ago was that? Probably 5 or 6 years ago. 5 or 6 years ago, she comes into my office. She says, Pastor, we're 8,000 negative. I said, praise the Lord, I'm going to buy a computer. She says, that's irresponsible. And I said, but I got to stretch my faith. She said, but what if we don't make it? I said, then baby, we're going to go down in a ball of fire that's so big, everybody's going to see it. You got to make a determination. Backwards is not an option. Staying in your pup tent's not an option. If I'm going down, baby, it's not going to be a little Cessna plane. I'm going down in a 787. Do they even make one yet? I just prophesied that into existence, glory. You know they're already working on a 787. I don't even know where it is. Why? Because in every industry of the world, staying the same is not an option except for the church. That's why we have churches. In America, over 80% of churches now are under 70 people, and the pastors are okay with that.
Right now, I could sit back and say, praise the Lord, we have 750 people, 700 to 750 people every single Sunday morning at His Tabernacle Family Church. We have between 200 and 300 people online. We have 5,500 to 6,000 people watching the TV program every single week. And we bus in 2 to 250 children a week. Wow, praise the Lord. We're in a small town of 6,500. We're doing more than most churches that are in the city. I could sit back and be okay with that. But God isn't okay with that. Because your neighbor's not going to heaven. Because your babies aren't going to heaven. Because the mayor might not be going to heaven. Because the county people aren't going to heaven. You see, we've got to make a determination. I can't stop. I can't stop. I can't stop. I can't spare. Enlarge. Enlarge. Enlarge! The larger you make it, you know what we found? Every time we've made something larger, God has filled it. It's true. Started with the bus ministry, just a few children. Now there's no more room. We started with this building. I remember when we opened it, 31,000 square feet. I remember saying, wow, that's a big building. 190 feet up the hallway alone. But now there's no more room. Why? Because God is doing abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. If you build it, they will come. That's the Field of Dreams. I think I just watched that movie the other day. If you build it, they will come. The question is, are you going to stay in your pup tent? Or are you going to enlarge yourself? Are you going to stretch this year? Are you going to say, God, I've been here maybe too long, Jesus. Today, this year, 2018, I'm determining that I will do more for Jesus Christ than I have ever done in my entire life. That God, I'll spend more time with you than I've ever spent in my entire life. I refuse to allow 18 and 17 to be photographically the same. I choose to stretch. Do you choose to stretch? Turn to someone and say, I choose to stretch. Tell somebody else, I'm going to get all that God has for me. I'm getting out of the pup tent. I'm going to enlarge myself. I love that. You see, the only other option for that is this. You ready? It's poverty. Now listen. The moment I say poverty, your mind says money. Poverty is not money. Poverty is a person that is willing to be satisfied always with what they have and never press forward. You see, when you're a person of poverty, it is the greatest sin. And I'll tell you why. Because if you only have enough to take care of yourself, then how can you be a blessing to anyone else? If you only have enough just for your survival, how will you ever have enough if a need comes into the building? You see, we've got to purge the poverty mentality of the body of Christ and get back to understanding the principles of heaven. And that is that God never built anything without excess. God never built anything without abundance. God never built anything without exuberance. And as it was said this morning, that the animals were told to what? The animals were told to what? No. The animals were told that they would reproduce of their like kind. But the mankind was told to multiply and replenish the earth. You are called to multiplication, not addition. You are called to increase and not just sitting settled. You are called for abundance, not survival. But you and I determine how far we're going to go. You see, I'm determined. There'll not be one person this entire county that will not hear the gospel of Jesus Christ before I die. Whether we got to knock on every stinking door, whether we got to have a crusade in every neighborhood, whether we got to broaden the TV program, I don't care what we got to do. Everyone that's going to stand in this region is going to be able to say,
and not say, I didn't hear. You see, this is where we make a decision. Lord, I'm going all the way with you. I challenge you this year, stretch yourself. Turn to someone and say, stretch. Can I show us all how unlimber we are? Can I have you stand? I got 3 minutes left. Everybody, please stand. Are you ready? I want you all to touch your toes without bending your knees. Don't bend your knees. Pastor Spencer. Let's be honest. We all need to stretch. Amen. How easy is it to be normalized in a position where we never are stretched? Let me ask you a question. If you're not in a ministry, what ministry are you going to be in 2018? If you only come to church twice a month, are you determined to come to church three times a month? If you're not and have not joined Next Steps, are you determined to join Next Steps? Well, that's more time out of my schedule. Exactly! Stretch! Well, you know, I don't have time. If you have no time for God, you're too busy with the world. Amen. We were talking to Pastor Obi and Tara again last night, and one of the things is, just like my wife and I determined, his wife and he determined, that they were going to give more in 2017 than they gave in 16. Everything has to do with stretch. And every stretch costs. What's your cost? I'm not talking money. What's your cost? Who do you love more? Well, don't you throw a guilt trip on me. I don't have to. It's called core value. It's where you put your time and your money. You already determine what you believe more. Who's number one in your life? Jesus? Are you seeking the kingdom first? Or is it just when you're conveniently attached? You see, today, I just want you to know as your pastor, as your pastors, we're excited where God wants to bring you. We've watched some of you accelerate, man. I know you're sitting back going, I never thought I'd be here. I never thought I'd be doing this. I never thought God would use me this way. It's so cool, man. And God doesn't love anybody else more than anybody else. And he'll accelerate you. He'll bless you. He'll pour his blessings in your life. And you'll shake your head at the end of 18 and go, I never thought it was possible. But with God, all things are possible. Amen? I said amen? With your heads bowed right now, I just want you to just to take a moment with Jesus. And I want you to talk to him for just a second. 30 seconds. And I want you to ask yourself an honest question. Are you the same or less from January 1st? If you're the same or less, I need you to take another moment and ask him to forgive you. Oh, Pastor, I just don't feel led. I'll get you a pencil. There's nothing to do with being led. This has to do with being obedient. Whoops. Sorry, that's a big word in America today. Don't tell me to obey. You got to earn my obedience. No, I don't. It's called authority. It's the kingdom principles. Today, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you're saying, Pastor, I don't even have a tent yet.
Pastor, I need to get right with God. I need to get prepared to move forward. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I'm not asking you to join a church. I'm not asking you to join a religion. I want you to know Christ. I want you to walk with Him and talk with Him and see what He has for you. It is awesome. Today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior and you want Him in your life, I'd like you to slide your hand up right now. Is there anyone in the room? I'm not going to wait real long. Slide it right up. 5, 4. Come on, get your hand up. 3, and 1. Father, I speak to this congregation, your people. Father, I thank you for the authority and the position that you've given me with your people. And God, I find it, Lord, such an honor to be able to stand here, represent you, and to preach your word. Father, thank you for the honor and the privilege of being able to be a voice from heaven, Lord, to your people here on earth. And Holy Spirit, that you dwell inside each and every one of us and you bear witness with us as the word is being preached. Holy Ghost, oh, please, Spirit of God, move in us. Move in us. Move in those that are watching online. Move in our hearts, Spirit of God. Stretch us, God. That Jesus, it won't be just another year. It'll be the bunker year to date. Where, Lord, the anointing in our life will increase our presence. Lord, will make a difference. And that Jesus, the words that we speak will be life and not death. Holy Spirit, the record books will be opened in heaven. And Lord, you'll write down the works that we've done for you. And Lord, you'll have to flip a page because we're doing everything for you. We make a determination this year, Jesus. Thank you for last. Some of us had very hard years, very challenging years. So, Lord, we thank you that we made it through. God, we didn't just barely make it through, Lord. You gave us peace in the middle of the storm. For those, Lord, who are fresh in their walk with God, I pray that they'll landmark this date and declare, I will never be the same again. I'm stretching. Lord, for those that have gone backwards, I pray great conviction of the Holy Spirit. Lord, not conviction for condemnation, but conviction for realignment. Lord, that they will forget those things which are behind and press on towards the mark of the high call. And Lord, that we'll run this race so fast, God, that we'll win. Jesus, you're coming, and it could be this year, realistically this year. Please, don't find us asleep. Don't find us with empty oil wells. Lord, let us be ready, working, and willing to do your kingdom's work. In Jesus' name. I'm going to have the prayer team come to the front of the altar. Maybe this year you've struggled with some kind of bondage, with something in your life. They're going to pray with you. I need you to move. They're here, right here. They know how to pray. And where two touch one thing, it shall be done. That's the awesome part about prayer. And I just want you to make a determination this year. You need to go home and make a faith wall. You're going to find it on Facebook here real soon. I'm going to post it, how to create your own Facebook so that you'll be ready and set, and how to prepare it for your family. You'll see God's greatness come through. Listen, we love you. You need to hear this from your pastors. We love you. It is a phenomenal honor to pastor you. But man, don't get relaxed. Don't get settled. We're not staying here. We're not at the promised land yet. We're moving all the way. We're going to keep building. We're going to keep challenging. We're going to keep changing. We're going to keep pushing. I'm a Jesus pusher. And I'll never stop. Why? It'd be a horrible thing that you get to heaven and you stand before the Lord and he said, why didn't you do anything? And you say, well, the preacher never told me. Listen, in this house, you're never going to have that excuse. Turn to someone and say, you're never going to have that excuse. That's right, because I'm a pusher. Amen. Only the things that are done for Christ will last. Period. Only the things that are done for Christ will last. What are you doing for Jesus? Father, I'll release a blessing on this house in the name of Christ. God, I thank you for the authority. I thank you for the power. And God, I thank you for order. And right now, in Jesus' name, I release order in the house. Shift, change, heal, deliver. Right now, go. Father, as we walk into this real world, I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I thank you, God, we're going to call those things which are not. I thank you, God, we're going to lead many people to Christ this year. And that, God, our life will make a difference. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. We love you. Serve God with all of your heart. Have an awesome day. Listen now. Don't go get drunk tonight.